When I got elected in 1983, the issue wasn't really much in the forefront at all. I was elected again 85, 87. And it was, I think, sometime in the early 90s, there was another election in 1990, and my group and I was elected again. And I remember the university, we either went to the university or they came down. I think we went up there and they had a nice presentation and dinner for us. And this is what it was all about. And they had their president was there, and Jack Blaney, I think. And they had really done a lot of work in the presentation. And this is after feeding us. The university is a major employer. Doesn't pay taxes, but it's a major employer. A lot of your students, a lot of Burnaby people, their kids go to SFU. A lot of members of public use our services, right? Given all that, and they had it well researched since, you know, well documented, we would like Burnaby to consider a financial contribution to a new art center or a skating rink, or they had a menu of things that they wanted to do and wanted, you know, a multi-million dollar contribution in Burnaby because, again, it was a service to community, major employer, and all that. And consider a partnership, by partnership meaning injecting money into it and working out some sort of public access. People smiled and said, thank you very much. Some councillors were, I say, a little more harshly critical of it, saying, well, what does the university do for Burnaby, right? And the meeting, I would say, was thank you, but it was like, no way are we going to fund. And again, the isolation of the university, right? And the fact is, I mean, say, like, who in Burnaby would drive up there to go for a swim, or drive all the way up there to a skating rink, or drive, you know? And, you know, the city, of course, is legally able to fund charities. I mean, there's all sorts of charitable nonprofits that get small grants. It could do a partnership from it, but the idea was like that we would build an art center up there, or contribute for it. Like, what would the city get out of it? So it was like a non-starter.
And this was around
late 80s, early 90s.
Okay.
I don't know if it'd be documented. So I came away from that meeting and I sort of, you know, and again, I hadn't gone to, I had gone to law school. I was a lawyer. Whenever that meeting was, I came away that it kind of left a bad taste in my mouth, mm-hmm. right? I thought it was less pleasant than it could have been, right? I thought there was kind of a more adversarial thing, an undercurrent of adversarial thing, I don't know, anti-intellectualism, whatever, but mostly because I still had some sentimental attachments to SFU. So I started thinking about it. I mean, what would be useful to Burnaby? How could we help the university? And it percolated in my mind. And then I thought, you know, what would be really useful is to resolve this issue of the land, because as your research has probably already shown you, that we had zoned the land outside the university enclave of P2, I think, public P1 or P2.
I think, wasn't it a P?
Yeah.
Was it, or was it P3?
Yeah.
Something like it, parks and public use.
You're right.
And I think that was done in 1976, shortly after the conservation area concept had been presented.
So from a zoning point of view, the notion was that there would be nothing there. So public use could be like recreational facilities, like a target range, or that's a poor example probably. It could be like playing fields and stuff like that. Nothing beyond it. And so I had this meeting that didn't go very well. The university going like this, and people saying, are they out of their minds that we're going to put, you know, $5 million or $3 million into something up there and forget it? No way. And there's something that I wanted, and that was to resolve this issue. So you're going to have to pin down the dates. I was like quickly researching. I think it probably must have been after the 93 election. Of course, by then, the provincial government, Mike Harkert, I think, had won in 1990, or I think was it 1990 or 91?
91, I think.
91, okay, that's called 91. So there were, Van der Zand was out, Harkert was in, so new provincial government. And I think it was after the 1993 election that I approached Mayor Bill Copeland and my other colleagues, and I said, I would like to see if we could resolve this issue of the land, right?
Before we go there, I just wonder if we could back up just a little bit, because we've noted that there's been this little dance between SFU and the city going on for about three decades. But you're right, that's interesting about the meeting that you described, because it did seem that tensions between SFU administration and the city really started to heat up in the late 80s. And I'll just because of these things that were happening in 1987, SFU, actually Dr. Sewell, who was the president, made a proposal to council for a Simon Fraser village. Do you remember that? That would have been 87. And interestingly enough, it was supported in principle by council, but it ran into difficulties with the planning department because to them it was didn't fit the zoning. And it was an incomplete plan. It didn't take into consideration just what you were saying about the municipality, what services it needed to provide, and taxes, municipal taxes. So apparently that just kind of disappeared over the next couple of years because it just ran into that difficulty. But meanwhile, SFU was constructing all sorts of interesting things up on campus. One of them was a proposal to build a sports complex on Nahino Park. Do you remember this? The dome?
This was... Yeah, you're hitting very vague things.
Yes.
Now, I think that, so, and the village, like I say, now that you mention it, it's just like very vague recollections. But
yeah, so those were happening. And in 1989, the Burnaby Mountain Preservation Society is formed.
Yeah,
and actually, they were concerned that the amount of activity on the mountain at SFU was just going to spill over to the conservation area.
Right. So I have a clear memory of the Dean Lamont and the
preservation. Oh, do you? Tell me a bit about that then.
I think he was an SFU student. I think he was living in a tree at some point in Nahino Park. So now that you talk about the dome and the development in the Nahino Park area, and it's funny, I don't remember the SFU village, but I can believe the planning department just saying, putting the kibosh on it and looking at it in isolation. So I guess my memory dims with age. I'm glad you've got that, because obviously there were more recent things that were happening that, you know, the university was frustrated and the city wasn't.
The frustration seemed to start to, things were really starting to clash. And then in 1990, the council voted to support the Burnaby Mountain Preservation Society's concept for preservation of the Burnaby Mountain Conservation Area. Do you remember that?
I remember the Preservation Society did make presentations to council, and they're very much. And I guess when you think about Dean Lamont living in a tree and in the Hino Park and their plans for developing that area, which was below a road, there's, I think, the SFU pub and the science complex, and then there's part of the old ring road, and then below it was what we always knew, Hino Park. Again, it's not an official park. Not a city park, it's part of the university, but people called it Nahino Park, right? And there was vegetable gardens in the front of it, you know, the kind of hippy-dippy stuff of the late 60s, 70s. People had their gardens, and then it was just a lightly forested area just immediately south, and had little trails running through it, right?
How significant do you think the work that the Burnaby Mountain Preservation Society was doing in rallying public support, did that help spur the negotiations on at all? Because you're starting to get public awareness of the value of that park and perhaps threat to it.
Yeah, I remember talking to Dean Lamont. But
so what about Steve Mancinelli?
Oh, Steve Mancinelli with are. His rainwater collection system on the house. Steve certainly was a interesting character. Yeah, I remember Steve Mancinelli.
And Gordon Merrill, or Merrill Gordon. Sorry, Merrill I always Gordon, get those names. Yeah, and he was a member as well as being on the Parks Commission.
Yeah, I remember them. In terms of them putting pressure on me mm-hmm. to do that, I wouldn't say no. But now that you mention it, these things I'm sure were in the background because I was on council, so I would have remembered, known about the village, although you're just tweaking my memory of yes. things that...
Well, the other thing that happened in 1990 is that the university actually sends a letter, or however it would have been, asking SFU to return the lands below the ring road. Okay. So they did that, and they did that because they wanted to be able to include those lands in the park dedication referendum in 1991, because okay. that was the election.
Yeah, so that kind of underscores, like I say, when I am, and I'm not sure if it's 1990 or 1993, and that must have been all in the background. I know members of council pretty much said to the university, we don't care what you want, you know, we don't want you to touch the lands outside the river.
Well, and in fact, I read one article that at a conference on land use on Burnaby Mountain held in 1990, Councillor Corrigan is quoted as stating, this is his quote, if SFU tries to build anything in the conservation area, it will be over my dead body. Mm-hmm. So obviously the tensions have definitely yeah. built up.
Yeah, no, I mean, and he, yeah, I won't speak for him, but yes, they were very hardened opinions. And I remember the sentiment that SFU tries to build anything outside of the Ring Road, that it'll be litigated all the way to the Supreme Court of Canada.
Well, now, actually, that brings up a question. Now, SFU had lawyers that were saying that it had the right of development across the mountain. Why was that never tested in court as a solution?
Well, because courts generally don't deal with hypotheticals. They're considered moot arguments, so they like to deal with a real cases. So okay. if the university said we're going to build some housing outside the ring road and cut down this and build some condos, whatever, then you have a live issue, right?
But okay.
the courts are reluctant. It would be endless if courts had to rule on interesting issues that don't have live or real issues at stake, right? It's called moot litigations, right?
Okay. And the university, it sounds like the university was reluctant to actually go down and cut trees and start building to cause the court
yeah.
to have it go to court.
Yeah, yeah, no. So, it was, but everything you referenced to, I mean, I was on council, I would have been aware of, and I know the feeling I had at the time. I thought the antagonism, and you've got direct public quotes, the antagonism between council and university was unseemly, right? Because I had gone to SFU, and it's not just because of that. I mean, it's an institute of higher education. They're important institutions. It's in Burnaby, SFU, world-renowned athletics scholarship. So I thought this was unseemly, right? Mm-hmm. And unnecessary, the level of posturing, or, you know, say we're the good guys, you're the bad guys, we're for the environment, you're not.
In fact, was that even fair? Because it was SFU not a good steward of the land on Burnaby Mountain?
Well, yeah, I mean, nothing had happened. I mean, you referred to Discovery Park Place, but I know Pat McGeer was a driving force. He was a very influential member of this social credit governments, and BCIT, yeah. UBC, they all, you want this, we'll make it happen. But other than that, the university hadn't done anything, mm-hmm. right? To go beyond the ring road, and you reminded me of the village concept. They wanted to do something a little more ambitious.
And actually, that was still within the campus, inside the campus. Right.